You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the UEFA Champions League knockout rounds. They have returned. Messi is not looking great. Barca is not looking great. But Mbappe is absolutely thriving. We talk a little bit of Liverpool. Also, a new baby is part of the Cooligans family. The Crashland baby has arrived.
That's right. We're Theo's now. Plus, we talked to Andy Haynes, hilarious comedian. You've seen him on The Roast. He's got an amazing podcast. He's a huge Arsenal fan, a huge Sounders fan. We talked about everything from soccer to funny stuff. It's absolutely incredible. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Vamos. Let's go. Let's do this.
Where are we going?
Let's get right into it, okay? There is no time to waste, okay? We got to get right to the show.
I want to thank everyone who has ever followed, watched, listened, because I'm wearing a tracksuit, folks.
Full tracksuit.
It's what I've always wanted.
We don't even need to confirm to see the bottom half. We know it's there.
Buddy, it's not. Nothing is. But trust me, the pants are right over there. No, I'm joking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Thank you so much, and I am Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived right out here on Fubo Sports Network.
That's right. We also happen to be the gulliest show that ever lived right out here on Fubo Sports. All right.
Boom. Okay. We have an exciting show today. We're going to be joined by comedian Andy Haynes, a friend, a dear, dear friend who we've chopped it up for years at the comedy clubs doing shows. You've seen him on Comedy Central. You've seen him on his great, great podcast.
He's been on The Roasts. He's been in social. He's on your social. He's all over the place. Very funny, Andy Haynes. Next week, we're going to have Bobby Fruit of the Loom.
Is that a person? I don't know what it is.
Haynes underwear. Come on.
Stick with me, Christian.
We going places, baby.
Because you said Bobby Fruit of the Loom, and I'm like, nah. What circuit does he wear? I haven't really come across.
Is that his screen name? Because I really don't know him.
Because I've heard some ridiculous stage names for some comedians, and Bobby Fruit of the Loom is not even close to the
Sorry,
craziest.
Let me call him by stage name, Bobby Hamburger Fruit of the Loom.
Andy's a great dude, hilarious comic. He's also he's an Arsenal fan. He's from Seattle. We talk all about it, but we got to start today discussing the UEFA Champions League, because there have been a couple matches. We are taping this right after the result from BSG.
BSG. That's right. It's a small gang that also plays soccer.
Barcelona and PSG played against each other, and RB Leipzig against Liverpool. But we got to talk about this Barcelona PSG match, because PSG won handily 4-1. Barcelona didn't even look like they had a game plan, to be honest.
No,
but it was the Mbappe show for PSG.
Bruh, no Neymar, no problems. if you're PSG. PSG look better without Neymar in the Champions League than they do with Neymar in Ligue 1.
they look pretty comfortable. You know, Barcelona, you know, their issues right now, we see that in La Liga, they're not doing too well. Okay. My dog is losing his mind.
clearly, he put money on Barca. And this is what happens when you gamble, folks. Right? He's afraid he's going to lose a paw.
Look, he owes a lot of bad people a lot of money. Right?
This is the life. I mean, you know, you can't let him hang out in those dog parks. You meet sometimes the wrong people. You know?
No, the problem with Barcelona is like they're having a tough time in La Liga, but when they play in Champions League, they get exposed. They are a flawed team.
Yeah, and I think the problem is like it's going to go down as Serginho Dest didn't play a good game. But you cover Mbappe.
Ronald Koeman, you could get in here and start taking care of this.
Bruh, try. Just once. I think he did his thing, Serginho Dest. And Serginho Dest is probably one of the best players on Barca right now. But clearly, this is what happens when you go against, you know, a team like PSG that clearly came with a game plan of how to attack Barcelona. And apparently, it's by shooting shots at their goal.
But look, the bigger issues, and I think that, you know, they're bigger talking points at during Champions League, obviously, because more people are watching. But Barcelona can't defend. They have terrible defenders. I mean, they don't really have the chemistry that we're just sort of used to seeing, or we're used to seeing the beautiful football of Barcelona and everything.
But their defense used to be, you know, like a strong offense, right? Like if you keep possession, they get frustrated. Exactly. And they get put out of position. Ronald Koeman is like, I ain't with all that. Like, we're going to pass a lot, but, you know, we're going to do things differently. And then they're losing. You know what I mean? And I mean, yeah, the question would be like,
we're going to go in a different direction, more the L direction. You know?
I think, why do we always need to be at the top? You know what I mean? I think what you're watching here is Barcelona. There was a feeling that the transition would be quick and that they would sort of solve things to try to keep Messi. And what you're looking at is like, Messi don't want to be a part of this. Messi's looking over at PSG and they're like, he's like, how much y'all want?
Yeah.
How much are y'all going
to
pay me?
It's week to week, you know. Sometimes, you know, Messi will have a great game. He'll score a great free kick. And everybody's like, oh, you know.
He loves it here.
He loves it here. You know, they're having a bit of a spat, but clearly he still loves this club. And then next week, it's like, you know, it's like an on-again, off-again relationship.
Yeah,
you know?
He loved y'all. Check his Instagram DMs. It's getting wild.
You need to leave him, okay? You need to know him.
They toxic, Messi. You need to bounce. We never liked them anyway. The win by Barcelona. I mean, the loss by Barcelona, the win by PSG. A game like that has to be a bit of a message, right? We were talking about Messi possibly going to PSG. But some think this is also a little bit of a highlight for Mbappe to show what he can do for his opportunity to maybe audition here for Real Madrid. What are we thinking there?
Look, I think a lot of people think, you know, Mbappe is not long for PSG. I don't know how much time.
But you stick around to play with Messi, though, no?
I would. I'd stick around. I'd be like, okay.
If you were leaving a restaurant, they were like, but Messi's coming. I'd be like, you know, I think we can miss the show, you know?
Okay, you know, I'm going to rearrange a couple things on my schedule, and you know, I think I can make it work, okay?
I think the wife will understand if I'm a little late, you know?
Look, I don't know how long... It's not a matter, you know, Mbappe is going to be at PSG for as long as he wants to be there. He is
the one calling the shots here.
Yeah. And look, if he wants, I know his dream club is Real Madrid, and Real Madrid would be happy to bring in the young man and help him. So they wouldn't say no to that either. So
you think someone goes to Pochettino and says, you're wanted in Mbappe's office.
He's like, oh man, I think it's going to be bad news.
Oh, you think I'm getting traded or transferred?
His office is just his locker. You have to talk to him in front of the rest of the players. You know?
The players are on the back's turn. They make a wall. You got to twist Verratti's hand and open him like a door.
Mbappe, you wanted to see me.
I have been called.
No, man, at this point, it's really just business and financial stuff. Like, look, Mbappe could have gone, and when he left Monaco, he could have gone right to Real Madrid. I don't think anybody would have been surprised at that move either.
No.
Although
they didn't have the money for him, only PSG did. But that also begs the question, is like, who can pay you more than PSG? Or is PSG going to take a hit by paying Messi big money, which I'm assuming if they do get Messi, obviously it's between them and City. Who's going to get a Manchester City or PSG? If you're PSG, Neymar, Messi, Mbappe, that sounds like more fun than whatever Real Madrid got going on. You know what I mean?
We usually see PSG dominate, especially in Ligue 1, right? And just Neymar and Mbappe would just embarrass some of these defenders. They call them farmers, right, in Ligue 1. But imagine what Messi would do out there, bro. It would be just week after week.
It would extend his career by 3 years.
It would be absolutely insane. And I say that even because, you know, there are rumors that Messi will go to MLS at some point. And I for whatever reason, I don't think he would embarrass as many people in MLS as he would in Ligue 1. You know what I mean? I think the ego of MLS defenders will not allow them to be so. I mean, look, there'll be the occasional embarrassment. Don't get me wrong.
He'll get highlights. You know, but I think at the most part, I think you're right. I think it's a bit more physical here, just like it would be in Premier League versus Ligue 1. Everyone's like, can I just touch you?
insane news. Yep. Absolute Valentine's Day. All your Valentine's Day posts. Yo, I love my girl.
I thought
girl.
I had a good one. I thought I had a good one, and then I got shown up.
I love my dude. I love what. None of them even mattered after this news dropped because our homies, Ali Krieger, Ashton Harris, for Valentine's, they win every holiday. I mean, it's just obvious. They have a baby.
Dude, hold on. Allie and Ashlyn, baby!
Congratulations to the Crashlyn couple, the Crashlyn baby.
Little baby Sloan.
Little baby Sloan. This is absolutely wild. I mean, look, there's a lot of Krieger stands and Ashlyn stands and Crashlyn stands, and people go crazy over anything that they do. But when it comes to now the growing family, the first thing I thought when I saw this baby, I'm like, the drip alone, okay? The style, the onesies, dude, okay?
The fashion statements this baby is gonna make.
Okay, how you a baby and also an influencer already? No, right?
How you got more followers than me? Who gave this baby the swipe up feature?
It is incredible. So I'm so excited. I mean, look, they're great human beings.
Are we uncles now?
That's look. Now it's like, you know, we weren't invited to the wedding, but clearly
we were. It got lost in the mail. That's fine.
It was a mistake, but you know, baby's first birthday. The Uncle Cooligans are gonna be there.
Listen. I know you got a couple uncles, right? And then maybe the men's national team or whatever. But yo. How about a couple Theos? Who's going to show up in a full tracksuit? Huh?
Okay, like an assistant coach, all right?
Just be like, hey, what's going on over here? Anybody need anything? You know? I'm prepared for it. I got a clipboard.
No, so this is super, super cool. I know they're going to be just absolutely amazing parents.
They're going to be incredible. I know. I mean, could you ask for a better parents than Allie and Ashley? Come on.
I mean, look, it's when it comes to just like straight up being the cool, like who's going to be the corny parent? You know what I mean?
Right?
It's going to be difficult to figure that out. Who's going to make the corny jokes?
They're going to be like, mom's doing another fashion shoot. So corny. Winning another World Cup. How lame.
Yeah, I'm tired of it, mom. Okay? Yeah. There's no way to figure it out. We should put out like a poll or a bet or something to figure out who's going to be the lame parent or who's going to be the cool parent.
I think we'll take care of the lame as the deals. When we get back, don't forget, we got Andy Haynes, right? When we get back after this. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, there's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
But no, Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly. But, you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join. You can give like $5, $10. You can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like, you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining. And it definitely helps the show grow so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021 when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the you know, Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
Hi, baby, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and finally our guest is here. And it's nice when the guest is just someone we know is a homie, you know?
That's right, because we don't have to worry about making them uncomfortable, you right. know? Because when it comes to our friends, we don't really think about boundaries, you know?
No. The only problem is that, and I love having comedians on, I just wish I respected this dude's comedy. You know what I mean? Like, that's what makes it difficult.
You know, the next like half an hour is going to be real difficult for
yeah.
us, you know?
Ooh. I'm going to try to hide it. But no, I'm kidding, man. I absolutely, there's few comedians that I have on this list that what we call like how most people treat The Godfather, regardless of when it's on, you're going to watch the rest of the movie. This dude is one of those people that when they're on stage, I'm like, I got to hear what they're going to say next. I got to hear what they're working on. He's always working on some new material that's absolutely hilarious. And he comes from such a different angle than I do, is why I love watching him on stage. Absolutely hilarious. Also a massive Arsenal fan. And it's about time we flood these airwaves with more Arsenal conversation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The one,
the only, put your hands together unless you're driving for Andy Haynes, everybody.
Andy.
What's up, guys?
There he is. What's up, man?
Thanks man. So much for joining us, man. Yeah, well, we haven't seen each other in a long time. And obviously, we play on the same soccer team. Obviously, we are professional soccer players. So yeah. We play on Cooligans FC at the NYC Footy Sunday League. And look, all I really want to say is, man, I miss you, buddy.
Yeah, dude. I miss you. I miss playing. I'm excited to get those emails from Footy, whatever, telling us that we're back. Yeah, I'm hoping that the numbers stay low enough that we can kick the ball around. But yeah, man.
That'd like be fun. I actually did an outdoor show with Andy, probably going back to the summer at this point, where Andy was just sitting there, just like, you know, writing in his notebook. It was in some park in Brooklyn. And I just walked over, and instead of being like, yo, haven't seen you in months, I'm like, Arteta, you think it's going to be like immediately? I'm like, no, I get to have an Arsenal conversation with a human in person.
Yeah,
I'm doing it.
I knew immediately who it was, too. Like, it's funny that you just like, it was like starting a conversation that we had like got cut off. Like by service or something. And I was like, oh, and by the way, he's shit. Like, yeah. It was just, I'm actually... Speaking of Arteta, I'm cautiously optimistic, but it's it's good to see you guys. I'm happy that, you know, some people get it. It's so hard because I don't really have a lot of friends that are like big football heads, and so it's nice to see you guys because, like, you know, I hang out with a lot of comics who, like, they literally don't know anything that's happened with soccer at all.
Yeah, and yeah. We say this all the time on the show, like, when we can't, there's not many comedians that we can actually talk. Hey, look at Rosebud.
And the dog.
And the dog. Wait, is she getting food? What happened? Who's at the door?
My dogs just came back from their walk.
That's also another very funny comedian, Rosebud Baker, in the background.
She doesn't awesome. Know anything about soccer. She watched, literally, this is a conversation we had the other day. It was Saturday morning. It was like, you know, whatever, 8 a.m. And, we were watching Arsenal lose to a team they should not have lost to.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there in bed, just like, and she goes, why are you an Arsenal fan? And I go, they were the team that I related to the most when I started watching the EPL. And then she goes, have you thought about like trying for a month to support another club?
Which is, by the way, and now just so you understand how funny this is, and I'm sure she knows this, you have an Arsenal tattoo. You can't,
I know. I brought that up.
You can't now bring
it's
up.
Because I knew it was going to piss him off.
Okay.
I said that because I knew it was going
to. Get out of here. Nobody wants to.
You're starting to see what a marriage between two comedians is like. I mean, it's just, well, the shocking thing is, and my wife has brought this up. She's like, why do you do something that you know is going to make you sad for the rest of the day? Like, it ruins the weekend, or it ruins at least your Saturday. And it's like, yeah. I don't understand how to explain that the highs are so high, it's worth these lows.
And I don't even have an excuse, because I got into supporting Arsenal from watching, from reading Fever Pitch, the Nick Hornby book.
That's, and it's basically wildly embarrassing to admit.
Yeah, it's just an account of just like a horrible, like a toxic relationship with a soccer team and how it ruined his life. And I was like, this is the team for me. This will turn out differently. Yeah, it was.
That's not a smart. Very Andy Haynes thing to do, though. Just so if people don't know Andy, it's like, wait, you read something about how horrific it is. And Andy's like, I think I want to do it.
I think I want in on this. I have an outlet for my pain. Okay, cool. I'm in.
This is my kind of torment.
Can I make sports intellectual and sad? Okay. Yeah.
It's right in your wheelhouse, dude.
So where's the tattoo? And when'd you get it? Why'd you get it? Oh, there it is. There's the gunner.
Yeah.
Cannon.
Well, because I was an Arsenal fan since, you know, my teens, and I'm always like finding the watching party, you know, wherever it was. LA had like a really good, they had this bar in Studio City called the Fox and the Hound, and it was like West Coast. So it was like real diehards, you know, you'd get up at like 4 a.m. to watch like an FA Cup, and the place is full, kids, families, you know, like a proper pub. And,
Cribs in there? Why is
this? We got pints, we got breastfeeding, we got.
If anybody wants to call Child Protective Services, I'm sure you would be successful. But then I just saw a bunch of Arsenal tattoos, and I have a couple tattoos, and I don't know if you guys have tattoos, but once you get a couple tattoos, you'll find yourself in these moments where you're with a friend getting a tattoo, or you just want a tattoo, but you don't know what. And I was like, I don't have a cannon yet. I might as well get a cannon. And
was it difficult deciding between the old badge, which probably was around when you started supporting, and the current badge? Because the cannon faces the opposite direction.
I don't think I thought that much through it. I mean, it's
good.
Actually,
it's not like
kind
it's permanent.
Of, it's messed up too, because it's like this old, like I got it in Chicago, like at this tattoo parlor that this, like, the guy was like still had the DTs from the night before. He was not well, and he like it's all scarred up. It's like it's not a good tattoo. You can barely see between the spokes. I mean, it was just
that is kind of fitting for an Arsenal tattoo. I mean, it's suffering right now. There's pain.
I was going to say just how are we feeling about Arsenal this year in general? I mean, look, I'm an Everton fan. I'm looking at it from the outside. I'm trying to, you know, I empathize with Arsenal fans, because there is you win 2-3 in a row and it's like, all right, we're back. You know, we're basically going invincible from this moment on. And then you lose, a game 1-0, and it's like, get rid of all these players. Why haven't we signed Messi? You know, it gets pretty wild.
I mean, I like Arsenal's style of, I like the way they buy and train, develop players. I think it's always been ideal. It hasn't always been beneficial, because like there's so much money in the EPL now that like teams can really just construct, like a crazy squad or whatever. But I keep on looking at our team, and I feel like you probably feel the same way, Alexis. Like we have such a deep bench right now.
Yeah,
we have so many young players and new acquisitions that are like, there's so much talent on that team, and it's really baffling as to why we aren't, you know, I mean, the Arteta growing pains are like a thing, but like when you look at us, I mean, we really should be, like, if you put it like into Moneyball kind of like, you know, running the numbers, we really should be doing much better than we are. And I just think it has to do with gelling or something like that. But overall, I'm optimistic. I don't know if Arteta's long for this world, you know?
I mean, okay, for the team at least. You know, the world he gets to stay in.
No. If you get fired, if you get sacked, you get killed.
Yeah. The rules are different now in the EPL. There's just too much money involved.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kroenkes actually fly him to Oman, and he's killed with dogs.
it seems like an expensive way to go, but if it has to happen, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's worth it. Did you guys watch the game on Saturday?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I watched
this
game, it.
This was against Aston Villa.
Aston Villa.
It was crazy because, I mean, honestly, like, we didn't look bad, but they looked. I felt like for a while, like especially in the first half, it looked like we were playing like an and one team. Like they were like put. It was like they were playing street ball almost. That dude, Russ Barkley and
Ollie Watkins look good.
Jack Grealish. They were,
yeah. I mean, Barkley and Watkins. I mean, they're just so fast. And Barkley's like that kid that, like, you know, if he was in the States, he would have played every single season of sports in high school. He's just like a small little muscle, you know, very clearly.
He looks like those dogs that have a lot of muscles on them and like the pit bulls. Yeah, that's what he looks like. He's got so cut up.
Like to be a white guy in England with a fade. There's got to be a story. If you're like the Midlands and you have a fade, it's like, okay.
You got to
like
earn that.
Okay, yeah, for sure. A conversation started at the very least.
This man is not afraid to walk across an estate housing project. They know him. They're like, oh, what's up, Ross?
Yeah.
We are here with comedian Andy Haynes. And also, I'm baller as well because you play... you play on the same team as I do, Cooligans FC.
Dude, I text Christian after the first time you played with him. I'm like, is he good?
Yeah.
Because I think I low-key wanted you to suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
No, but Andy can ball. Andy, you are originally from Washington State. Are you from Seattle proper?
Yeah, I'm from, like, it sounds like a joke, but I'm literally from, like, a few blocks from the Space Needle.
Okay.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Well, like, I thought you were going to say... I low-key thought you were going to say you're from the building that was supposed to, like, the building from Frasier. Like, that one.
Oh, yeah. I grew up, I'm actually Eddie's dog walker.
That, to me, is more famous than the Space Needle.
So, obviously, Seattle has a great soccer culture. Obviously, the Sound, we were there for MLS Cup when the Sounders won. It is wild. But what was your playing background? Did you play as a kid? You played in school? How'd you get into it?
I think it was like 5 years old or something like that. Like, it was just, you know, I grew up in a very, white, you know, like,
no, but you said Seattle. We said Seattle.
Yeah,
we're good.
I grew up in exact, like, a damp white, you know, Volvo driving culture and, you know, lots of Scandinavians.
If you would have said Citroën, we would have thought England, but yeah, damp Citroën. Yeah.
It was the only sport that I ever, like, even did decent at. And then, you know, my parents were split up. So, like, we didn't have select team, like, money or even bandwidth, like, you know, cause I ski race too. I was like both. And my,
is that
both
real?
Of those? Yeah. I was like a competitive skier.
Is that just
skier.
Like the down slope thing?
Downhill. Yeah.
Well, you're not going to race uphill on skis. It'll be a little tough.
It's a hell of a race, though. I put money on that.
You race uphill, I think, in like cross country, which is insane to me. They, like, jog uphill with their skis on. Those people are idiots. And then they have, like, a gun on their back for some reason. It's just
they don't use it.
It's like a harpoon, right?
No. It's the biathlon. Is you cross country ski and then you, like, get to these little stations and you have to do target practice. That's the weirdest. Because nobody else is doing that but, like, Finland and Russia. Like, they should just have their own thing. And, like, okay, yeah, you guys go do that. Like, nobody wants to do that here.
It's like Tai Chi for the whites, you know? It's technically war training, but we can't show that we're war training.
Alexis, I for real, I high-key would love it if there was, like, Scandinavian neighborhoods and we just, like, you know, you went to like one part of New York and there was just like Norwegian guys like cross country skiing to target practice in the park. And gentrifiers were just like, oh man, these people are fucking nuts.
Dude, Finnish town gets wild, man.
Dude, little Helsinki, that place is lit.
You got a duck in the park, bro.
Yeah. They're allowed to have the guns. I don't even know how it's legal. But yeah, I played soccer. I always played club. And then I played in high school, but like I never had the discipline. And it was already like, I don't know if you guys had this experience, but like when I got to the point where I really wanted to play at a competitive level, people were just like, oh, you should have done that when you were like 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. For Christian, it was like 32 years old.
Yeah.
I'm making up for like, lost time.
Can you build a time machine?
When am I actually out of the league? 2 years ago? Cool. All right. Never mind then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the funny thing too, is like I still feel like I have those moments like where I'm watching a game and I'm like, man, if only a few different things would have happened, I'd be, you know, I could have played for Burnley.
Yeah, I was watching the Knicks like at like 8 years ago, and something happened, and I just like in one of those moments where I'm not really thinking what I'm saying, my wife is like on the couch texting on next to me. I just looked at her and I actually said the words, you know, if I was taller, I could have dunked. And she goes, you're going to turn that into a bit, and just like walked away. And I was like, yeah, you're right. That was stupid.
I'm getting injured, you know, picking up my dog, you know. I just got a dog about 7 months ago, and now I'm getting these new back injuries that are being introduced in my life because I haven't been used to crouching and picking a dog up and picking up poop and all this other stuff. There's no hope for me.
Yeah, I think if we went and played like one game in Prospect Park with all the West Indian guys, we would know very quickly the limits of our skills. We'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd also have to call my wife and explain why I'm in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We currently play against like the, you know, the HR team of Warby Parker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's the level that we are currently at.
Yeah, the Whole Foods produce section has a meme squad. Their bench is deep. But I had this coach that I linked up with because my friends played for his select team, and this guy, his name is Mike Henderson, and he was this like tiny black guy in Seattle, and he was just like, he was like the soccer guru. Like if you saw him, totally inauspicious, you know, just like this tiny little black dude, and he coached soccer and it was his entire life. And my buddy Ben Gown, who like could have played MLS, played on his select team, and hooked me up with one of his lower teams. I actually played on that lower team with Macklemore, sorry to drop that name.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Seattle Sounders owner.
yeah. Sorry. Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he owns all his music. It was like, I want to say this real quick. A lot of people don't know what it's like to have gone to high school with Macklemore, because you guys all got to go to high school with a white rapper and you got to forget about him. You got to go like, okay.
Yeah.
That guy's fine. He's out there. Past, I hope he got sober, you know, but I have to see Macklemore and be like, God, my white rapper is still here.
Is quite possibly the third most famous white rapper.
Yeah. I mean, I would even say arguably second. You know, like behind Eminem, I don't know, you know, who else? Snow? I really don't know. But
how was he as a player? I'm just curious.
Decent, fine. Okay. I mean, it was like neighborhood club team. But that guy, Mike Henderson, he would call me every night, and he was like the type of coach. This guy, all he did was coach soccer, and he would just like call you and want to talk soccer. And he was like, he was nuts. He was always stoned. Probably, I hope that doesn't get back to him. But anyways, whatever, who cares? But he would like call all his players every night and he would just talk for hours. Like if you didn't get off the phone, he was going to, and he'd ask to talk to your mom and he'd be like, how is he doing in school? And then he would like start talking to you about like, he taught us everything about Brazilian soccer. Like we had to listen to Jobim in practice. We, like all the jerseys from the Brazilian league were like being mixed around. I remember one time I'd gone to Mexico and I'd bought a Boca Juniors jersey and like some other like South American team jersey. Neither of them were Brazilian, but I gave the Boca Juniors jersey to like this other kid. And then I gave Mike like this jersey from like, I don't even know. It probably was like Chivas or something. I don't even know. Yeah. But he like berated me. He was like, and I didn't know. He was like, how dare you give me this? It might even, I might even given him like River or something like that. Like he was
like a rival.
Furious. And, you know, he would take, he would record all of the Brazilian league on cassettes. And then he would like pass them around. He'd be like, go out and watch this. Go out and watch this, like, you know, Gervinho, or go out and watch this, you know, Ronaldinho Goiacha. Like he'd pass it around and be like, watch this Grêmio versus Corinthians championship game or whatever. And so that's like how I grew up, was like with this like Brazilian mentality of football. And he also, they were the most, they would never fly as like soccer coaches now in this like precious world of just, I mean, probably healthy, but precious. I remember like, cause I was kind of a little bit of a, like a chubby kid growing up. And I remember I went and I'd lost some weight and I was like getting better at soccer. And I went to like my first practice with this team and I was so excited that they even let me practice, and I'm playing. And they had this Trinidadian dude that helped out the team, his sons played, and his name was Philip. And Philip was like just a head breaker, you know, like he was just this giant, you know, just should have been in jail type of dude. And Mike yells across the field, he goes, how's Andy doing? And Philip goes, Andy is shitty man. And that was just like
great. All right. You know, interesting performance review. I see what I have to work on.
Yeah, he ain't got it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess cool. I go home cool. now.
I'm going to just, I'm going to elaborate on what areas I think I can grow in.
Andy Haynes, hilarious comedian, great podcaster, also the creator of The Champions, which is on Bleacher Report, which is really awesome. So he's a good writer as well.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. We were talking a little bit about, you know, obviously your soccer career and some of the horrific things you had to go through because you were so bad at it. But let's also talk a little bit about your comedy career, because that's obviously how we met. You've been doing stand-up for quite a while. Do you get a chance? And people ask us this all the time. And we did a comedy tour, a soccer-specific comedy tour. So we got a chance to do soccer jokes. Do you have any jokes about soccer? Have you found that happy medium of doing jokes that are universal enough for a regular audience, but still get to talk about the sport?
Well, quick answer is no. But I have jokes about it, but it's just like, it's like one of those things, like I'm sober. So I have jokes about like sobriety that like when I go do like a sober show, like they get it, you know? And sometimes they'll work with like a normal audience. I mean, I feel like it's a weird thing now where a lot of America knows about football. So it's like they, you know, and I'm talking our football, obviously.
Futebol.
But it's futebol, yeah. Joga bonito. But it's just so hard because you don't know like what people's, the main thing that I like to make fun of, I think you've actually heard this joke, Alexis, is like that bro mentality around soccer where it's like, if you get around like, you know, like a certain type of dude, he's going to be like, oh, soccer is gay. And you're going to be like, well, you just mean boring. That's what you mean. Like, don't say gay. You mean boring. And
gay, I have a bit about the exact opposite.
being gay is the complete opposite of boring. Yeah, so that makes no sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the joke basically goes, like, if I was watching gay porn, you would not call it boring. So do not call soccer boring, because that's what you mean.
I have a similar joke where I said, like, a friend was flipping through the channels and he saw a game. It's just a bunch of dudes sucking each other's. And you can insert the second word there. And I was like, yeah, I don't think you were watching soccer.
Yeah, that wasn't soccer.
I was
soccer,
like, you should probably ask your dad why you have that channel. You know,
I think that was called cricket. I still have no idea how cricket works. There could be a homoerotic element to it. And I'd be like, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, it takes 5 days to play. So it's a fun time.
But I've been lucky enough that I got to tour back when the world existed. I got to tour in Europe. I got to do like a bunch of like gigs in the Czech Republic and Germany and all over Sweden. And then I have like a couple clubs that like will always like let me go up in the London area. And so it's like I've been really lucky. Like when I'm there, you know, I can talk about it. But it's just not the same culturally. Like, you know, I feel like the average British person, you know, they can remember like the time that like Andre Arshavin scored 4 goals, you know, and like that, he's just Liverpool? Like a normal, yeah, like a secretary, you know, knows that in England, but it's just not the same here. They just the culture isn't the same, although they're starting to get it, but I still feel like it's like, you know, it's like this low hanging fruit thing. Which is so weird because it's like the number one sport in the world and everywhere else. Like when you ask a British person, I have this thing where it's like, it's almost racist where if I meet a British person, I'm like, oh, what club do you support? Which I feel like is like the equivalent of like asking somebody like, you know, I'm not going to insert the generalization I have about another culture, but it's not like in America, for the most part, the people that fuck with soccer are like, you know, college kids. You know, it's changing, but like when you go to England, if you're like, oh, do you like support a club? It's like a guy who drives a truck and his name is like Stu. And he like, you know, he's mad about Polish people stealing all his jobs. You know?
It's a different going to a pub in New York to watch a soccer game is very different than going to a pub. Like I went to a pub just outside the Emirates and one of the guys there was like, did you Google this pub before you came? And it's like, no, he goes, well, these are all hooligans. Like, these are all very dangerous people you are surrounded by. And you just walked in here with your wife. And I was like, oh, there's a different pub I should go to.
Oh, yeah, like you'd never think. Here. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd never think to like not wear your jersey in New York. You'd never be like, oh, I'm going to get my ass kicked for wearing my away jersey for Arsenal, like in the Bronx or something. But I stupidly brought this jersey with me to London the last time I was there. And then I was like, you know, I was like out seeing the sights. And then all of a sudden I was like on White Hart Lane and I was like, ah, I probably shouldn't be in this jersey. Like there's a good chance I'm going to die. So,
yeah, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was just once the pandemic started and when quarantining began,
comedy went away.
And look, we've spoken to a bunch of comics of like how did you manage, you know, we have this show, you know, so some comics don't have anything, some comics started a new thing, everybody had to find ways to be creative. You started a podcast with your wife that is so funny, it's so awesome.
Thanks,
find
man.
Your beach, find your beach with Rosebud Baker and Andy Haynes. And one of my favorite things is look, we know a lot of comedians that are married and but we don't necessarily get to take a peek behind the curtain. You almost see, you guys clearly have a chemistry as far as in your marriage, but the comedic chemistry also works well. So this was a good pairing. When
it's just multiple dysfunctions layered on top of each other, but they fit together so well.
It's just trauma and no boundaries at all. Just the perfect mixture for a long marriage. It's great because it's, you know, we just get most of our shit out by just like roasting each other. And the podcast like has been this amazing kind of like lifesaver, not only because it generated a little revenue, but also it just gave us this outlet. Like we started the first day of quarantine and we weren't even engaged yet. We actually got engaged like the second week of the podcast and we did it every day. For like the first month, we did like 30 days in a row. And then we kept on kind of like backing off as like life normalized. We were like, let's do it 5 days a week. And then we're like 3 days a week. And now we do it 2 days a week. But it's awesome, man. I'd never had a podcast that, you know how many comedians like start a podcast and they're like, we're going to talk about all our favorite episodes of Cheers. And then, you know, eventually like it doesn't, you know, blow up. You don't get rich in the first 6 months and everybody's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. But, this is like, we have this huge fan base and all these people that we're like, kind of like intimately involved with, and also gives us like a way to be funny, you know, a couple times a week. And, I love it.
I just want to applaud you and credit you, because one of my favorite clips that you guys posted that made me laugh so hard was when you were roasting each other's genitals.
Yes.
Do you remember this? Okay. So this was the wordsmanship, the craft of like, of roasting. And I mean, it was relentless. It was a riff that just did not stop. And you guys kept, it made me laugh so much. And really, this is how you find a loving partner, that you can, this is how you know you're in a good relationship, where you can roast each other's genitals and you love each other more after it.
Yeah. I mean, it really like solidified our love. Because if you guys know me, you guys knew me before I dated Rosebud and before I was married. And, you know, I have a tendency to be a little bitch, and I'll fully own that. I can be a little bitch. I can be a sensitive little bitch. I'm a Cancer, apparently. That's my sign. Not like I'm a Cancer to my family, but, she just like, there's no room for it. So it's toughened me up, and you know, it's cool, because I'll be like being a little bitch, and my wife is like an expert roaster, you know. She like writes for those like Comedy Central roasts, and so it's like the second that I like catch myself like kind of playing out of hand, she's just like, just, you know, dials in on my receding hairline or my weird shoulder blades or my genitals, you know?
Yeah. Nothing's off limits. And I remember you did a video where you flew to Iceland for a day to get like chapstick, and it didn't exist. And I text you like, how did you produce that? Or I talked to you, I'm like, what did you do? Like, how did you make it seem like it was real? And you're like, no, it's real. I went to Iceland for one day. And like, you had no money at the time. And I'm like, what are you doing? So when you announced the engagement to Rosebud, I text you, is this real? Before I said congratulations, and you said yes, and then I was like, congratulations. I just want people to know that that's who you are.
I still want to do that show. So if anybody's watching, that it's called Around the World and Andy Haynes, and it's where I fly for an absurd amount of time. I actually, when I did that, I was so broke, and I had nothing going on, and so I was like trying to kind of launch like, just like a YouTube following. And I had this show called After Sheldon. It was on Jash, and it was a fake young Sheldon talk show. And none of my guests ever watched the show. Most of them didn't show up. It was like a complete disaster. But one aspect of that Iceland trip was, so like, I think I flew, it was like 9 hours there and 11 hours back. And I was on the ground for like 22 hours, maybe. And I just went around and I was asking all the Icelandic people in Reykjavik if they were excited about young Sheldon. And like, it was so funny, because in Iceland, you're not afraid of anything. So I literally would like go up and knock on like a cop's car window, and I'd be like, hey, are you excited about young Sheldon? And they'd be like, what? But the funniest thing is there was like this heavy metal guy, and I like, he was like washing his car in the back of his house. And I like walked up to him and I was like, hey, are you excited about young Sheldon? And he was like, actually, I think that this kind of entertainment is very capitalistic and shit. I like more cerebral. The Big Bang Theory had its moments. And I was just like, he had like tattoos like all over his body, you know, just like listening to death metal. Only guy that knew. I mean, I asked everybody in Reykjavik if they knew young Sheldon. That was the only guy that knew.
Totally real established opinion.
All right. Another one in the books. Thank you so much to Andy Haynes.
It was great.
For joining us.
And the dogs and Rosebud, of course.
Look, thanks, at that. Man. Yeah. It's a triple booking. It's three for the price of one. Like I said, Andy's a hilarious comedian. Definitely go check out his work. And when the world returns to a normal place, go see him do some stand-up. But Andy, is there anything you want to plug in particular before we sign off?
I mean, just, go listen to the podcast, Find Your Beach, at Find Your Beach on Instagram. And all my info for what I'm doing is usually on my Instagram page. So that's I'm Andy Haynes, at I'm Andy Haynes. The conjunction, not I am. But yeah, that's where all my dates are. You know, I got that little Linktree Pro subscription, so it's all there, you guys.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, somebody's making money. You love to see it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's go. Yeah.
All right. Andy as well. Also just a reminder, follow us at Fubo Sports, at Soccer Cooligans, and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. Andy, we have our goal celebration. We need a goal celebration GIF from you. So what would your goal celebration?
Right when that Trinidadian dude yells at your shit, you score a goal. How do you celebrate it?
You know what? Am I allowed to do an homage? Am I allowed to do an homage celebration?
Yes, please.
I think, you know, just because he's such a polemical figure, I would love to do the Mario Balotelli jersey reveal. Why is it always me? That's I would love.
I love it.
But I'd mime smoking a cigarette too, because I love Balotelli so much. And that was, I mean, he's just, or maybe the time that he missed the goal trying to do the reverse heel at the
And you got exhibition taken out of the cup. Game like 2 minutes later. I would love to get Balotelli on the show. That'd be great. All right. Yeah. So Andy, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks,
Let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Andy Haynes, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Yes!